Hello, this is Jay Nerbo. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 595, and, you know, I don't really have anything planned to talk about here, which may be a relief to many people, because it's been, I can only think that it's been a really divisive few episodes. But that, I just have to come back to the whole point, that if you're really in the pursuit of truth, you can't just say, oh, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe. To a degree, we can do that. You know, for a lot of things that just probably don't have a ton of bearing on things, you can let some things slide that may be of little importance. But I had to bring up something that I thought was really important. Whether you do or not is actually up to you too. Although, I'm sorry, I will continue in the pursuit of truth. Of course, you can always say, well, that's Jay's interpretation of truth, which is, well, that's fine, it's my podcast, you know, it gets to be my take on it. I hope I'm getting closer to the real deal. If I'm not, feel free to contact me, autism@quix.us, and hey, we can banter, or you know, try to convince one another of our frailties or our, you know, our problems. I'm not going to say I'm the fount of truth, but I'm looking for it, and I hope you are too. I had never intended for this podcast to be about current events. And I still intend on that. You know, truth, if there's things that I bring up from current events, I hope it's only in the desire to dig a little deeper and find what truths are coming out. In the last podcast, I made some allusions to the fact that that in the realm of, like, let's say politics, for instance, truth really ends up being kind of a non-issue. It's all about how do you look. It's all about whether you can get your digs in and it sticks. It's, you know, and it's a sad commentary. Of course, when it's politics, that's the nature of that beast. The only way to get away from that is just to avoid politics. But given our system, given the way things go, given democracy, you're going to have this stuff. What saddens me is the fact that people can't either separate truth out from rhetoric, or that they have this silly notion that they're the same thing. You know, good rhetoric equals truth. Oh, which is just, on its face, wrong. Can't say anything but that is true. And it's sad to see our society, our culture, slide into this. Whoever has the best spokesperson gets to define what most people consider to be truth. Oh, and it pains me. It pains me as a person who seeks to know truth rather than just seeking to know what the popular opinion is. It's sad when you see news. News isn't a seeking of truth, at least the news I see anywhere. It's seeking of what the majority thinks, you know. It is typified by the poll taker, how we're so interested in what the majority thinks, as if the majority has any clue. Ooh! Shall I bring up one of my favorite bugaboos, school? Shall I bring it up? Let me tell you a little bit about what's coming in my thoughts on it. Now, this has a lot to do with the whole realm of autism and and things like that, because autistic people, Zenith people, people like me, who can get a diagnosis of something, can get involved in something called special education, and whether that's useful or not is debatable. Let me tell you a little bit about the story. My son Matt, of course, he's now 16 years old, had a birthday January 1st, he's a New Year's baby. He is diagnosed as autistic. Pretty textbook case. He's doing pretty good now that he's 16. I don't know where his mind is. I think I know what some of the things he wants in life, but you can't carry on much of a conversation with a man. Except that he tells you what he wants, and he's either going to be happy when he gets it, or he's going to be angry when he doesn't. You know, he's a pretty, you know, his mammal brain is pretty dominant, I think, in his life. I'm not sure he goes much beyond that. I know he employs some logic, but, you know, you're not going to get tons out of him. Good guy, though. So I have one son who's diagnosed autistic. My other children are, they have interesting issues, but I think they're all within a range where they can deal with them. My youngest sons have been diagnosed, they call it cuspy ADHD. They called it something else. Disruptive behavior disorder, which speaks to only one group of people, schools, you know. It only goes to telling them that they have a disorder, they're going to be disruptive, and that they aren't doing it because they're evil. I've got good little kids. They want good things to happen. They don't plan things to be nasty. They just upset people, especially schools, because they aren't, you know, they don't seem to be able to fit in very well with the school environment. Well, one of my sons came home with a note from the teacher. You know, he wasn't listening to what I was doing. He wasn't paying attention to me. He was making me mad. Basically, the note said that they wanted Lisa and I to do something about this, you know, at home. They were suggesting light punishments, you know. Don't let them do something they really enjoy doing until we tell you that they are behaving better at school, is kind of the gist of what they were wanting. Along with kind of a veiled threat that if we weren't able to get the thing to change, that they would take matters into their own hands. That they would find ways. You know, I can only imagine, given the political climate, that it will be detention, that they'll be staying after school. We're in a place where there's a 4-day school week instead of 5 days. I know that just seems kind of crazy to most people. But we only have a 4-day school week. It's a longer school day. It still works out to be about the same number of hours. And they have something called Friday school, which is half tutoring and half punishment. And a veiled threat that they will dump this Friday school on to my, he's a second grader, maybe the third grader, I don't remember. He's 8. I think he's a second grader still. You can say, oh, what a distant father, he doesn't even know what grade his kid's in. I said, no, I'm not a distant father. What I am is I'm a person that doesn't give a flip about school. School is, you know, what grade my child is does not constitute knowing what's going on in my child's life. And my kids know, oh, Dad doesn't like school. Dad thinks school is stupid. We only go to school because Mom doesn't want to deal with this at home yet. And she may never get there. You know, if I can find a school that's more to my liking, funny idea that all that may be, I'll take it. Anyway, so So we've gotten this. Interesting, I always find it interesting that teachers who get paid, I'm sorry, quite a bit. Most teachers make more money than I do. And it's usually a second career. It's usually the wife. The husband makes money too. And mom goes out and teaches school, sometimes even for more than her husband makes. And it's like, we give you all this money, and my take is, can't you handle the situation at school? How come I, the person who's free on board, have to get involved and do the difficult parts of your job for you? Well, I need to be more interested in their education. No, you're not. You're interested in classroom management. You're interested in quiet, compliant, good little kids so that you don't have to deal with problems. You go, my kid, by nature, doesn't fit in very good in the school environment, but yet he has to be there, right? And, of course, we've been bugging the people that have the evaluations done. They're supposed to give us paperwork back, and we were going to give that to the schools as kind of an evaluation so that, first Matt needs to have it so he can continue getting his special ed stuff. Because putting him into the normal environment would either tend to get him killed or he would kill somebody else. But, and I've been pondering, and I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but I'm the kind of guy who says, you know what, if I can twist the system to serve me or my children better, I will. And right now, the system is saying that my kid's bad and that they need to be punished. And they aren't bad. They don't need to be punished. You know, people can always say, well, they need to learn how to behave in certain circumstances. And I'm sorry, you lose me there because of my just inborn problems with schools. You know, what it's teaching isn't necessarily terribly useful. I'm not talking about science and math and English. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, you know, you will sit still. You will sit in your chair. You will do as I say. If I tell you to jump, you'll jump. If I tell you if you say you need to go to the bathroom and I think you're playing little games with me, I'm going to say no, and I'm going to, you know, and I'm not going to feel bad if you wet yourself, because that just lets you know that everything in life is given to you by somebody in authority, and you need to bow and scrape before those people. Now, I know that to a degree that's true, but I don't think we have to smear it into people's faces at the age of 7 or 8. You know? That's what produces the kind of political climate where we don't seek truth. We seek to be a part of the larger group because that's been drilled into us from the very beginning by schools. And I think that's the thing that schools are most concerned about. The actual transmission of information like history, math, science, English, these are things that don't take up a tenth of the time at school. You could do it at home in a quarter of the time and probably get a better education without all the weird mind games, without all the weird, you know, control issues. So, here I am. Here's my dilemma. Once we get those papers from the evaluation, is it worthwhile for me, for instance, to try to get my kids put in special ed, because in special ed they won't be punished. The school has to, whether it likes it or not, acknowledge that they have troubles with the school environment, and they have to try to accommodate for it. And I'm waving at somebody next to me that I actually know. Far from the setting in which we know each other. Anyway, so I'm wondering if that's going to work. And I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot because, honestly, that works better for me because it'll solve one of my bigger problems with schools. You know, do I want my kids to become educated about such subjects as history and math and English and all those other things? Do I want there to be an education there? Sure. Now, am I sure the school is going to do a good job, that they're not going to taint it, that they're not going to cause all kinds of problems? No, I'm not sure of that at all. In fact, there's reasonable evidence to say that it's stilted, it's stinted, and it's manipulated by certain groups to serve their needs. It's good to have all kids thinking that environmentalism is the one true religion out there, and that, you know, you need to turn your parents in if they're being evil. I'm not going to get much into that, but just to say, you know, this is something I ponder because, you know, there's a trouble that truth seekers, idealists, people like me have, that, you know, you're not living in a beautiful world where all this stuff just kind of works. Society does make demands on you. And, and one has to work with that. You know, whether you believe it or not, you know, I would much prefer it if Lisa had our kids at home. She doesn't have the strength to do that right now. Life is difficult enough for her without having to try to keep up with two crazy bouncing around kids, and she's concerned that she'll just let them run loose and they'll never get down to learning things. So we'll probably do like we did with Matt with the twins. We'll probably keep them in school longer than normal. You know, most of our kids only went through school into the fourth grade or maybe even the fifth grade. Brenna went through the fifth grade. Josh went through half of fifth grade. Shayna bounced out several times. Actually, Brenna, usually around the second grade, we'll try to pull them out and see how it works. And for all of our kids, I don't think it really worked very well. We went ahead and put them back in school at some point in the second grade. But for the twins, we might keep them in there longer. It always becomes an issue, given our circumstances. The school district we're in, the middle school is a war zone, wretched war zone. You know, and I'm not going to blame the teachers. I'm not really going to blame anybody. It just is. You know, you could say, oh, well, it's those evil people, or it's those evil people, or those parents that can't keep their kids in line. I'm not prepared to blame anybody. It's just a fact. And if I can keep my kids from going to the middle school in Tucan Crane, New Mexico, I will. And that's simply it. You know, I'm not interested in trying to fix things. You know, most parents go, oh, what don't you want to make the same place nice for all the kids? And I go, because you know what? All the parents can take their kids out during middle school. They could empty out the middle school if they want to. But they don't. And I'm not going to get on to them about not doing it. There's a lot of reasons why not to. My kids are in school for reasons that are beyond the education. You know, it's for my wife's sanity. I have to look towards my wife's sanity just as much as I have to look towards my children's education. Important though the education may be, they're going to get some education at school. I don't think it's particularly fantastic, but that's okay. That's a debatable thing. One can have a debate about that and come to some kind of a conclusion. I would personally love for our kids, not knowing how schools are, but just knowing a smaller school typically has a better ability to handle these things, especially if your kids are special ed. You know, they're going to have a resource teacher. They're going to have one or two teachers that spend a lot of time trying to get them to do things. And I think that would be excellent. something that Chicken Fury Schools doesn't have the mindset for. You know, they may or may not, you know, they tend to think on the large scale, and that means that there's going to be a resource classroom with a lot of special ed kids in it, and there's not going to be much one-on-one at all. For the simple reason that, you know, they don't choose to go. They don't have that philosophy. They don't go in that direction. Where a smaller school, house is very small. There's about 70 kids at house from kindergarten through 12th grade. That's really tiny. Now, that doesn't mean the class size are necessarily smaller. They tend to combine grades. You know, you'll have first grade and second grade combined. You'll have second grade, you know, third grade and fourth grade combined. And that's good in some ways and not so good in others. And but when it comes to special ed, they tend to have a special ed teacher that takes care of all the special ed kids. They tend to have aides. And so just by nature, your kid's going to get some more one-on-one because they're going to have, you know, they're just going to have more one-on-one time because there's only one or two kids to front with. So even thinking of that, now to do it, we're going to have to move into the district to, and it sounds bad, but it's true, to force them to take my children. Because if I were to try to transfer my kids there, well, I live in a different district, they'd just say, you know what, no. We don't have to take your kids, so we're not going to. If you move into their district, they have no choice. They have to deal with it. And I'm sorry, you know, if it causes them pain, I'm sorry, they're getting paid. They're getting paid to deal with the pain. And they can grouse and complain, but I'll just say, I'm sorry, you have to, whether you like it or not. I'm not going to sit here, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try to be nice to you. This is about the kids. This isn't about the teachers. And so often that's what school ends up being about. The bigger the school is, the more it's about the teachers and the administrators and their mental health and them having a pleasant workplace, for instance, rather than being about, hey, I'm here for the kids. I'm not speaking ill of individual teachers. Most teachers go into teaching for good, honorable reasons to help kids. Now, whether they can actually do that when they're there, of course, it really helps you feel good if you feel like ongoing that that's what you're doing. You know, I'm helping kids. That's what I do. That's my job. Maybe, unfortunately, in the physical day-to-day part of it, they're often kind of, and we all do this. I'm not saying that one should attack school teachers because they're disingenuous. We're all disingenuous in a way. Or we can get that way. Because, you know what? Our livelihoods are on the line. Our incomes are on the line. And we want to protect that income. And that typically trumps stuff like, well, I want kids to learn. And if I have to sacrifice, if I have to have pain and torture and have to work more than I want to do that, you know, that's great if you can get that. Now, I'm not asking teachers to slaughter themselves for my kids. I don't mind the fact that sometimes school becomes glorified child care. And I know that offends people horribly. It's okay if it's like that. I'm grateful that most teachers don't look at it that way and also don't treat it that way. And they easily could. I'm grateful for the teachers that don't. And I hope that's the majority. That they're in there, that they're trying. If they're having a bad day, if they're having a bad year, if they're, you know, if they just can't give my kid more than just, you know, there's a place for you to go, I'm going to make sure that other kids don't pick on you. If that's the best I can get from them, you know what, that's okay. Because that's basically what I use school for. It's time for Lisa not to just go stark raving mad. And not to, you know, want to just run away screaming. That's the function school performs for us. The fact that there's education on top of it is wonderful icing on the cake. Thank you. And I don't complain about how much money they make. Oh, we pay those teachers too much. No, we don't. I don't mind if they get paid a lot. If we could pay them $1 million a year, fine. I'm not going to sit there and try to pump sunshine at their spirits about how wonderful and marvelous and fantastic they are. You know, they're just like everybody else. You know, and if great education is happening, or if only mediocre education is happening, I'm happy that at least something positive is going on. And if it costs, me this much in property taxes, fine. If they double my property taxes, well, whatever. What can I do about it? I hope it ultimately ends up in their hands. I hope they have beautiful, happy lives that when they finally retire after 25, 30 years of dealing with children, of trying to teach them something, I don't mind if they get a crapper load full of money. I'm not looking for fairness here. They're providing me a service. And I'm grateful for it, whatever that cost may end up being. Now, do I homeschool my kids whenever it seems workable and it seems like it can be handled? Do we try? Yes, we do. I don't want the school to feel bad about it. You know, it isn't, I don't think it's a teacher's fault that Chicken Cary Middle School is a war zone. I think it's sad to say that it becomes their responsibility to try to change that, because it's almost like, you know, how do you stop the wind from blowing? How do you stop a lot of things from happening? You know, and you're going, you know, I'm being given a hard job, and I'm not willing to sympathize. Yes, you are given a tough job. I don't know. It says, but on the other hand, let me tell you, you don't have to do it. Now, I don't mean you should take all that money and not do your job. But if that job's really difficult, it gives you headaches, and you gripe and complain about it, my only thing is, go get a different job. If you don't like it, well, somebody's got to teach the kids. And I said, somebody else can teach the kids. It doesn't have to be you. That's what I said. I'm not going to get, when I was teaching school, I wasn't going to get sucked into the whole weird sacrificing for the good of others stuff. I do that as a parent. I do that as a churchman. You know, I already do that. It doesn't need to be an integral part of my employment. You know, somebody else can do that job. It doesn't have to be me. I said, so, yeah. When I left, I didn't leave feeling guilty that children were going to be maltreated, or some child that I was supposed to touch wasn't going to get touched. That's okay. It's a job. You can find one that fits your personality better. Do it. You know, I am not one to tell people how wonderful they were for going through pain, torture, despair, migraines. You know, as an occupation for the good of other people. No, other people. There's all kinds of people out there. There are people who just live and breathe and love teaching. And let them do it. Let them do it. You don't have to do that. It's a job. But as a consumer, I don't have to use that. Now I'm in a position where I have to always pay government for its existence, whether I use it or not. And I'm not going to get weird about that. I consider that blood money I pay it off to keep the government off my back. You know. And their little interpretation of fairness is just peachy. Whatever. Well, for not having had much of a topic, I've talked about quite a bit. And even though I say, well, I'd rather be true than pragmatic, you go, well, you've got to be sometimes. I've got to think about people's energy levels. I've got to think about stuff like that, you know. Martyrdom is something that you do at the very end, you know. Because when you're a martyr, you're dead. It's kind of like that picking your battles thing, you know. What do you feel like dying for? And is today the day to die? You know, sometimes we don't choose it, but oftentimes we do. You know, do I want to die at this day in my life? Do I want to go down for my ideals today? Leave my wife to deal with our children by herself? My answer is no, I don't want to do that today. I can afford to do that later when I'm older. When my death won't destroy lives of people who depend on me. Does that sound petty? I don't know. For an idealist, maybe. But it's true. I've got other people to think about besides just the cause, or a cause, or one of my causes. You know, certain people can be about causes. Because of their circumstances, perhaps. I can support causes, but I can't be the do-or-die person. I can't, you know, I refuse to make my family's life wretched in the service of a cause. I don't need to martyr myself right now. Or do something that might get myself martyred. You know? I need to think about my family. I need to think about my kids. I need to think about my wife. I think that cause, the cause of my family, right now trumps everything else. I'm still searching for truth. I'll always do that because it's a fetish. It's an obsession with me. Zenith. Obsession with me. But not at the expense of what I think my family needs. And I'm not going to let somebody else determine what those family needs are. You know, the schools aren't going to do it. You know, it's too easy for school people to say, oh, well, you're not looking after your family's needs because your kids need to be in school. And you go, no, my kids need to learn things and prepare to be good adults. And ultimately, in a very religious Latter-day Saint sense, prepare to be like God. He says, now. He says, and that's the big thing. Your thing is about perpetuating school. And that you want my kid there, because if enough kids don't show up, you might lose your job. And I'm sorry. I can't be too concerned about your job, because in my mind, the school teacher keeping their job is less a cause to be worked after than the ultimate happiness, the ultimate joy, the ultimate fate of myself, my wife, and my children. I won't sacrifice us to them simply because they want school to be, you know, even the whole idea of making school better, school reform. Sorry, it's not that interesting to me. I don't need the school to be reformed to take care of my basic needs. you know, I'm not going to get in the way of those who want to reform school, who want to beat their head against that brick wall. You know, it's more power to you. But when they say and they come and they try to jump all over me because I'm not on the bandwagon with them, I simply have to say, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter to me. I will pull my kids out of school when school becomes a problem. And you can reform it all you want to from the inside, but I don't have to be there. You know, you can't use the normal thing of, well, it's your children. Don't you care about your children? You go, no, it's not my children. My children are at home getting schooled a different way. So that just takes me and my family right out of the picture. And that's the truth. That's the truth. It may not be their reality, but they've chosen their reality. That school is central to a person's life. I always thought that's interesting. I'm a home economist, and it was brought to me once again that my take, and the reason why I went into home economics as opposed to sociology or something else, is because I am a firm believer that family is the most important thing. Period. Family. Now, I know schools propagate the idea that they are so important that the family must serve the school. If that teacher's having problems with your kid, if that teacher feels the need to send home a little note that says, your kid's acting up in class, I can't deal with that, you need to punish them so that they behave better in school, that's telling me that I need to be the servant of school. What goes on in school is more important or needs to trump what happens at home. School needs to kind of control what happens at home. You know, your kid is borrowed from society. You know, school is where your kid is. Your responsibility as a parent is to make sure that your kid gets to sleep at a decent hour so they have enough rest so that they're perky and happy at school so they can learn. You know, make sure they eat well. It really comes out, you know, it's really coming out now because they're sending home the things about the testing. You know, they want your kid to eat more fish because it's brain food, you know. Please change everything you do at home so that our school can look good on the tests. You know, the individual score of your child is only important in relationship to how all the kids do in the big scheme so that our school can look good and can get awards and or something or other. Or actually for the 2-grade middle school, it's to stay off of probation because they do, kind of do poorly. Anyway, so I don't know what to call this episode, but it needs to end because I'm in town now. It needs to stop. This is Jay Nemerow. This is episode 595. Don't know what to call it, except to say I wasn't talking about religion. Just in case you guys thought, this is becoming a religious podcast. I don't like that. I was expecting something else when you said philosophy. Well, I hope you got a little bit more philosophy, so that you didn't feel like this was becoming a one-trick pony due to the last, you know, 3 or 4 podcasts. This is Jay Nemerow. Where's my thing? There it is. Have a great day.